update. Jake, you're back on deck.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. So what I'll be talking about this morning, the topic is something that probably you've all been contacted on. This occurred last week and on Rapid Creek. So just a little background on Rapid Creek and that system. Essentially, in the Black Hills, you have Deerfield Reservoir, which is on Castle Creek. Castle Creek is a tributary of Rapid Creek. That flows into Pactola Reservoir, and then that flows in through Rapid City and into the Cheyenne River. But there's two large dams for the Black Hills, they're large anyway, on that watershed. Those dams are owned and operated by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. The majority of the water that's stored in there is owned by the city of Rapid City, and it's there for municipal and irrigation. So annually, water management happens based on their standard and operating procedures. And what happened on November 30th was, from Game Fish and Parks standpoint, this is what happened because we weren't contacted prior, which was disappointing to find out. So on Thursday evening, December 1st, I was contacted by a member of the public asking if I was aware of the flows in Rapid Creek. So the way the flows are gauged, estimated, the US Geological Survey has stream gauges, which essentially monitors the quantity of water moving through Rapid Creek. That unit of measurement is cubic feet per second. So if you think of a cube of water moving through 1 a second, that's the volume of water that goes through. So these stream gauges, the individual contacted me on Thursday evening, asked if I'd seen them. I looked at discharge below the dam, so the amount of water in Rapid Creek coming out of Pactola Reservoir, which had been at 39 CFS on November 29th. On the 30th, it was reduced to 11. And even more concerning is there's another gauge downstream above Canyon Lake in Rapid City. That was at 6 at the time, but it actually, I believe on December 4th, dropped down to 1 cubic foot. So essentially for all of Rapid Creek, you've got 1 cubic foot moving through. So that was Thursday evening that we were contacted. I notified staff that evening as well that we'd be talking in the morning. On Friday, we reached out to the Bureau of Reclamation. And then all weekend, there was a slew of conversations, basically a lot of concerned users out there. The former commissioners that were certainly very concerned, users as well. And so we had those conversations all weekend. On Monday morning, we did hear back from the Bureau of Reclamation. The individual was out sick on Friday, reached out to us Monday morning and informed us that the reason for the drop in discharge was maintenance. Repair needed to be made. They found it during November annual inspections. The way the outlet structure is functioning, I hope I'm getting this right the way it's relayed, I have not had the opportunity to personally and have a tour of that structure, but just talking with other staff, other state agencies that have. You can picture in the dam two gates that can be adjusted to allow for CFS to come out, water to come out. They can go up to 500 CFS as the max, and then they can be reduced lower than that. There's also a bypass tube, essentially, that moves water around those gates. That can handle 18 CFS, I believe. So during the annual inspections, there was a previous repair that was found to be damaged. There was a hole in it, so the decision was made that it needed to be repaired. So in order for that to happen, that was in the left gate. In order to get to the left gate, they needed to shut that one down, of course, to work on it. But to get to it, they had to shut down the right gate. So then the bypass channel would be used. But because of the way bypass channel dumps water, it actually dumps water in the area that would need to be repaired. So they had to hook an additional tube, they being the Bureau, an additional tube to that bypass, which restricted it from 18 down to 11 CFS. So that was the 11 CFS that was coming out of the dam. Now, again, the big concern is just through some different hydrologic processes, 11 CFS at the dam then essentially goes to even lower than that as it moves downstream. This time of year with the cold temperatures, we see ice formation. So you can think of that surface water being bound up as ice. So that's why we go from 11 CFS down to maybe 6 above Canyon Lake. And even then, with daily temperatures, if you looked at the hydrograph of that gauge above Canyon Lake, you can see ebbs and flows, even a couple CFS, but you can see these dips. And just about every morning was the lowest. That's where the most was bound up in ice. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sun's rays, the warmest time of the day, you would say, there's actually more water flowing because some of that ice has melted and contributed water back into the stream. But you still see those ebbs and flows. So we had daily conversations with Bureau of Reclamation, some of our other state agency partners, user groups, Certainly media was notified. Big thing trying to find out what was going on. We did find out earlier in the week those repairs were completed and the water was turned back up. I checked it last night and I believe it was 35 or 36 CFS. So it was very unfortunate though. There are potential impacts to that fishery. Again, the big concern for us was that breakdown of communication. We are annually meeting with the Bureau of Reclamation, the City of Rapid City, at meetings such as the annual Water Creek Users Meeting. But on top of that, we've spent a lot of time and effort. I've given presentations to this commission specifically on water management in Rapid Creek. We partnered with South Dakota School of Mines to provide studies on impacts to the trout population based on in-stream flows. We've also provided different alternatives in water management from a more holistic, just water management standpoint. The idea being that if we could find a different operating scenario that would benefit the trout population as well as just overall water users in the system. Again, great partners with South Dakota School of Mines. We provided that information to the Bureau, City of Rapid. I can tell you in the past we've tried to form Rapid Creek technical committees. Again, a lot of conversation. So it was quite disappointing that after all those discussions that something like this would happen and we weren't even made aware of it. So with that, that was just the update I wanted to provide. Be more than happy to take any questions, but I did want to say that those flows have been restored and we did notify our users as best as we could.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Commissioner Beesier, have you seen any fish mortality or anything from the low water? Has any of that popped up, or is it more from the spawning of the brown trout right now? How it's going to affect that?
Yeah, through the chair. So, Commissioner Beast, yeah, that's the hard thing. As far as actually visualizing a fish kill, it's going to be very hard to actually see from a couple different standpoints. So when you look at this year's year class, for example, we know through our red surveys, red is basically the spawning bed for trout. We've done surveys in Rapid Creek looking at where those happen and then the timing of the year. We start to see red formation in early October, and then it tapers off in mid-November. So those fish just got done spawning, though. So what happens, though, is with that dewater, the potential is there that's going to impact those areas that we're spawning, but we're not going to be able to actually see anything just because those eggs are going to be buried down in that gravel. Now, we did hear a report of an individual seeing some dried-up eggs, for example, but it's not going to be, say, a visual fish kill because they're going to be very hard to see, but those eggs are certainly going to be impacted. From an adult standpoint, we've got a couple things that might be working against us to actually see a fish kill per se. They might be able to short-term move to whatever water might be there, but in a lot of cases in the pictures we were seeing, which we expect, it's ice covered. So what you get is essentially an exposed ice shelf and then, you know, whatever might be happening underneath it. It does put a lot of stress on those fish if they can find pool habitat. What generally we see, though, is we see higher rates of predation by predators such as mink along the creek that are very effective trout predators. Additionally, we see, and we would expect to see, cannibalism. Brown trout really like eating other brown trout, and big brown trout like eating small brown trout. So when you condense juveniles and adults, there's a high probability for cannibalism, but that's really hard for us to capture, and it may not be when you think of your typical fish kill and all these bodies floating or along the shore. That's not exactly what this one would look like. Long answer. I hope I answered it all right. But
any other questions? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.